Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, Faye, what are we talking about on Netflix this week?
No comment.
Okay. Molly, do you know what show we're covering?
No comment.
Can either of you say anything other than no comment?
No comment.
No comment.
Okay. Well, thankfully, I'm kind of getting the gist anyway. We're here to talk to you about Criminal, Netflix's newest procedural drama, where you've guessed it, interrogation is key. With a star-studded cast and plenty of insider gossip to share with you, stay tuned for a jam-packed show.
Bertie Kinkle, the only person you're gonna scare is yourself!
Johnny! What are you doing?
Keep the noise down.
What are you doing here?
Maze, just in time.
There's a whole load of police here. I think they're worried you're gonna hurt yourself. Or someone else.
How many children are you friends with?
So I'm here with Molly Mitchell and Faye Watson. Hello guys.
Hello.
And I'm Helen Daly. We're here to talk to you about Criminal, a new and extremely unique show to hit Netflix today. So Faye, what's it all about?
Well, Criminal is essentially a police interrogation drama with a little bit of a twist. It kind of follows three different separate interrogations and three separate cases, all with the same police team. That's in the UK version anyway. And in each one, we follow the characters as they try and get a confession out of the people they're interviewing. It's a bit difficult to explain, so I'm going to refer to Netflix at this point. And they describe it as, Criminal is a police procedural with a unique premise. It takes place exclusively within the confines of a police interview suite. This stripped-down cat-and-mouse drama will focus on the intense mental conflict between the police officer and the suspect in question.
Interesting. So it is quite an unusual format, both in terms of the way it's filmed and how the series shapes up as a whole. So for those who don't know, three episodes are set in the UK with the same team. Three are in France, again with the same team. Three in Germany and three in Spain. Did any of you guys watch any of the other ones? We've all seen the UK ones, right?
Yeah. So I've watched all the UK ones. And then I watched a little bit of the French and German ones as well. I haven't ventured into Spain yet. I'm saving myself.
Yeah. Save it for your holidays. I started the Spanish one, but didn't really get that far.
But
Spain do it so well, like Netflix stuff really well. So that's, I think Spain will be the best. After UK, obviously.
No bias.
Yeah. So what I kind of really struck me about them is the kind of different ways they use the same set, because they're all set in the same kind of police interrogation suite. They use the same set for each different one, but they have different kind of creative teams behind it, different cast, different crew, and they all kind of use it a little bit differently. So for example, I was looking at the German one, and the first episode kind of starts where he's going in for a witness statement and then finds himself in interrogation, while the French one is a bit different and opens with an episode about the Bataclan terrorist attacks, and the suspect they're investigating is like being asked if she's lying about being at the attacks. It's a really interesting premise. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of what makes it so good is that it's so contemporary. And I feel like with crime dramas, they can be about like historical cases and so forth, but it's usually like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But something like this just makes it like really fresh. And especially for a French audience, it's so present in like the minds of French people.
Really big case.
Yeah, so it's really interesting how they do it. And I also think the kind of interesting part is how they all use the space a bit differently, because they use the kind of interrogation room the same way. But I noticed in the French and German versions that they kind of use that corridor a little bit more.
Ah.
And they go to the window a bit more. You can kind of hear the outside world a bit, and it makes it a little bit less claustrophobic and a bit more kind of in the moment and in that like time frame and that setting. Which I think is quite interesting, because the UK one doesn't really do that much.
Yeah, the UK one's quite claustrophobic. Yeah. Why do you think it's different?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's the scene where I think it's the air conditioning coming on and they all look up.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt quite sick watching it, because the camera like panned and you can see the whole room.
It's like fly on the wall very much, really.
I liked it, but and then when they broke out into the corridor was so dark. And the other room, like behind the mirror, was also very dark.
Yeah,
I was like, where is the light?
It was really dark, the UK version, whereas like the other ones, they're kind of set in the day. And that made such a difference to the kind of feel of it, I thought. I don't think they're any worse. It's just kind of interesting how they're different.
Am I right in thinking it was also seasonally different? So the UK's was around Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that. That's a good point.
Oh, top tip.
The inside track.
So I spoke to the creators, Jim Field-Smith and George Kay, about why they wanted to film a show like this across different countries. And it seems that the method has some excellent reasoning behind it.
I've written a monologue for Channel 4, this is a while back, and I'd love the constraints of that. And then I was looking to kind of expand it and find what other kind of contained environments or TV grammar could I use to create another script. And around that time, Jim and I have always loved kind of true crime and crime shows and that kind of thing. And I saw this interview with a guy accused of murder on ITV, and it was the journalist interviewing this man. And it was kind of peak time, midweek news program. And I realized after about half an hour that I'd just been watching this interview with this guy. And I changed my mind about whether or not he was guilty about two or three times. And really the news program had not cut away much from this interview. And at that point I thought, well, there's a whole show here in this moment, because this really quite respectable man, at times I was convinced, because of the way he was being too friendly, he must be guilty, or if he was being, you know, or the reverse. So, and then we kind of, I did the script and we got chatting, and then we mapped out a kind of vision for doing a whole show set in what we ended up deciding was three rooms. Because one room would have been just too crazy, I think. But we have this really neat situation where we've got the action going on in the interview room, and then the sort of irony going on in the observation room, and then there's the corridor that links the two. And there's a little rule associated with that space, which is that we always made the rule that that's where characters tell the truth, because you could be lying to your colleagues at work just as much as you could be lying to the police that are interviewing you. So where is the space where there is a kind of rudder for us in terms of truth and lies? So that kind of unofficially became a nice place for everyone to breathe, to talk honestly.
But yeah, the idea is for it to be really contained and really almost like the sort of going slightly against the trend of the time. You know, both of us have worked on pretty involved shows, films and TV shows, and what was partly appealing was the simplicity of it, and I think that's it, you know, and sort of Netflix sort of saw that potential in it, but then also saw this kind of potential, this international potential for it, you know. So you take a show that is, you know, from a sort of on a practical level is quite simple, but is ambitious in ways that you might not expect, you know, just because it's quote unquote small and set in three rooms. It doesn't have to be a small show. You know, the quality of the writing, performances, the casting, the international talent we were able to bring onto the show in the other territories, and just the fact that we're making this show in four different territories simultaneously, which has never been done before. That was like, you know, you're starting from what George has described, which is this very small, simple, contained idea, but executing it in this incredibly ambitious way has been a real learning curve for us. But yeah.
And why did you choose to also, you know, involve the other three countries with it?
Well, I think sort of precisely for what I just said, like the idea was we could have made this show in, you know, as a UK drama, and that would have been great. But I think one of the real strengths of this show has been in its breadth, you know, and to be able to collaborate with all these different filmmakers in these different countries and actors. And you know, George and I were learning how to make the show as we went along, as you always do when you make something for the first time. You can set out with a vision and you can have all these sort of rules in your head and all these wishes and dreams, but it's not really until you start involving other people, and the creative process, you know, inevitably requires other people to push and pull with you to find what the idea is. And we were just so lucky to work with these amazing writers across these four countries, well, across these three other countries, that kind of forced us to make the best possible show we could and tested us. And you know, they would come to us and say, "Oh, we want to do this story," and we go, "Oh, that's amazing, but you know, have you thought about this? And you can't do this, or you can do that." And that I think has led to a is this the right way around of phrasing it? The greater than the sum of its parts type situation where we hope people will watch all of it, of course, but I think even if you just watch the UK episodes, they've benefited from us having made all of them.
So Faye, what else is pretty unusual about this very unique drama?
Yeah, well, I think we've kind of mentioned it a bit, but probably the most unusual part is that it's all set in those three rooms, the interrogation room, the kind of mirrored area behind the mirror where they're watching, and also the corridor in between. And as we were saying, it makes it so claustrophobic, like you feel very tense watching it. It's not one you're going to watch while doing something else. It's something you kind of strap in and then like see what happens. And it also makes like the interrogation very tense, like with the twists and turns. I'm thinking especially of that first one, the David Tennant one, like the kind of journey you go on when they find out more information. It is so heightened by being in that little room with just the beeping noises of the recording and the people on the other side and the breathing. It makes it so, so good. And also another thing about that format is how each of the interviews begin like at a different point in the clock countdown. So I'm thinking the UK version where they kind of change the dynamics of the interrogation. Like that David Tennant one begins like right near the end of the time they can hold him for. So that's really interesting format-wise as well.
And Molly, just to bring you in here, what did you make of the format?
I liked it, but claustrophobic. I wanted to know what was going on behind the wall. And then even though they do introduce you to that, but when they introduce you to that, it's the other, like, the staff talking about kind of normal everyday lives, which is interesting enough. But then, yeah, no, I liked it. My favourite bit was, not favourite bit, but the first, like, 5 minutes of the opening scene is just David Tennant sitting there.
Mm. And it's he's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he's just staring right at you. And the only words he says is no comment. But I think it's interesting how you can hear the interrogation still going on behind him. So you kind of feel like you can see them anyway. But no, I don't know. I liked it. I did like it. I just felt quite claustrophobic, as we keep saying.
But, it is, though. And one of the things that really does isolate you as a viewer is that you really don't know what's going on. You have to sit and watch it and work out the case. So with the David Tennant one, you have no idea the intricacies of the case. You don't know what he's even in that room for, let alone, you know, if he's guilty or not. You have no idea. And I think for me, that kind of left me feeling really left out of it. And I wanted to be a part of it. And I had to like kind of fight to be a part of it. It didn't give me anything easily.
Also, the David Tennant one. The
I'm sensing a theme, Molly.
I know. I'm a David Tennant fan. I forgot the character's name now. The investigator that takes over. Forgot his name.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, it'll come back to me. But the camera pans to he's telling Edgar, David Tennant's character, that the cameras are watching him, and then he turns around and points us to one that his daughter calls a selfie camera. I thought that was so good. And then it shows you what you would see in like a police courtroom, like the videotapes they'd play. It felt really real. It was a bit too close to home.
I love that bit too. Yeah. The kind of seeing the camera version from like that kind of grainy footage that you are kind of used to seeing with real interrogations and confessions.
Paul, that's his name. Paul.
So Molly, we have kind of touched upon it already. The cast is unbelievable.
Yes.
Who is in it?
Okay, well, mainly I was focused on UK cast. So it's like a blend of like lead characters mixed with like supporting kind of roles. So David Tennant, Hayley Atwell, and Yusuf Kerker, not sure how to pronounce that. And then a supporting cast of Nicholas Pinnock, Rashenda Sandal, Catherine Kelly. And a range of people that you recognise, but you don't know who they are. I had to try Google them, like try find the cast list, like. But you do recognise everybody that's in it from something. Mm-hmm. So each individual case like leads. So the person being questioned leads each episode. So first episode's David Tennant, second one's Hayley Atwell, and the third one's Yusuf. It was quite frustrating because the episodes are only like 45 minutes to an hour. Vary. Yeah, so I felt you always wanted to find out more about each person, even the kind of background people. I wanted to know what their jobs were because you never find out really apart from the interrogators. So yeah, I always wanted to know more. I feel like especially the episodes could be a whole story, a whole series in themselves. Like they're so interesting.
That's one of the things that really, really stood out to me is that you don't know anything about anyone. So even this cast that you're with, you know, led by Catherine Kelly of the police team, you kind of drip fed little bits about their lives, and we won't spoil too much about the big twist at the end where you actually find out something about someone. Yeah. But you know, they tease tiny little bits. You know, at the end of episode one, Lee Ingleby's character goes to give Catherine Kelly's character a present. And he's too shy and he like backs out of it and he can't do it anymore because she's gone home. And then you're like, oh, okay, so what's that relationship? Yeah. But it doesn't tell you. And I think that's kind of one of the beauties of it, really.
Yeah. And also one of the most frustrating parts as well. Because then I also think as well that it was very much, I was believable.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like, not like our office is like a police interrogation thing, but you know what I mean? Like, it's
no
like,
comment.
Yeah, you have those conversations with like, if you're going for like drinks after work and they're all talking about like, getting a table booked at the pub, like that's a conversation that we have mostly every day. But you know what I mean? It felt very believable. I didn't feel like I was watching something that was like so far away from me.
It's totally fly on the wall. You just pick these guys up and then you drop them and then that's it. Like, you don't learn what's happened in the interim between cases. You just learn that they're doing a case now. That's it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think as well, like the kind of mundane bits of it as well, like, we were watching this like tense interrogation being like, oh my God, this horrific crime's happened. And they're like, oh yeah, did you book the table at the Thai restaurant?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. It kind of adds like a level of like realism to it that I really enjoyed as well.
The creators, Jim and George, when I spoke to them, you know, they did spill about why they wanted to film it that way, just dropping little bits of information and not actually expanding on anything. You know, one of the reasons they said was tiny things are their big helicopter crashes. So you'll hear that now.
So we've lent into like, well, where's our drama coming from? And we can't, you know, when you've got a show that's set in one's face, you can't come out of the traps all guns blazing. So we try to go the other way and say, well, no, it's going to be incredibly contained, it's going to be incredibly intense, and every single detail, everything, we always say that on the show, everything happens for a reason, nothing without a reason. So what someone's wearing, what type of pen the lawyer is using, what type of, how someone's breathing, when someone shifts in their chair, that's our helicopter exploding, essentially. You know, David Tennant putting his jumper back on tells you something about how he's feeling.
Yeah.
And those are our big dramatic moments. And so we wanted to trust that the viewer is going to be drawn in and leaning forward into the episode. And so we ran with those details and tried not to have episodes, not to create drama within the space, if that makes sense. Try not to artificially create, because also that's not how police interviews go.
But also there's the police private lives, and that's really small and low key as well. So I think you've all seen the first episode. The character of Myerscough wants to get the right result with David Tennant, but he also wants to get the right result with that present that he's brought. And so it's just about finding that point, because we all have jobs, we all take them seriously, we all try really hard, but we've also got pressures at home or in our personal lives that kind of interfere with our day. And it's just about bringing these huge crimes into a small space where everyday lives are going on in the next room, and you're just trying to strike a work-life balance, you know. Mm-hmm. So all of that felt really new and different. And because we are just stuck in this one spot, if you're trying to give your someone you like a present or a gift or something, and they go home early, they've gone. That's the end. They've left the show, right? They have to wait for the next day. And then so it's just about scale as well.
Also relatability of the characters. You know, again, in a more traditional location-based crime drama, that the characters are often being pushed to bigger extremes in terms of where they're coming from, because that helps propel things forward. But we just revelled in the small. So we revelled in, as George was just saying, with Lee Ingleby's character Myerscough, it's about, should I give her that present or not? And that, I know it seems so minor, but within the show it hopefully feels big because you understand the context of it. But also we wanted to not have our cops or our suspects be sort of fantastical characters. We wanted the, you know, cops in the UK particularly, of course, they're just regular people. That's, you know, they're you know, well-educated, well-trained people, but they're just regular people. They have stuff going on at home. They have the same concerns that we all do. They're not superheroes. You know, they don't exist on some other plane, and they're also not infallible. And so we wanted to reflect that, and we also wanted to reflect the suspects not being these sort of binary, oh, this guy's evil. We wanted people that is someone that you see out and about, or someone that elements of it you see it yourself in that person, and you say, well, obviously I've not gone to that degree, but I can see, I wonder how I would behave in that situation, or how I would feel if these accusations were being levelled at me if I was innocent. And so that's really important to the show, because we don't have anywhere else to go. Like, it's just, you have to feel a connection with the people, because we don't have the fantasy element that you can introduce in a different type of show.
So Molly, tell us about episode one.
So episode one, I'm torn between episode one and episode two being my favourite, because I'm a huge David Tennant fan.
You haven't mentioned it.
No. but I think episode one is the darkest episode. I won't spoil too much about it, but it takes, you think everything's okay and that you believe him, and then there's just this massive twist that you don't really see coming. But David Tennant is obviously incredible, and he's like no stranger to like interesting roles, like Good Omens, Broadchurch, Jessica Jones, and then Mary Queen of Scots. But I think it's interesting because everyone knows David Tennant obviously for Doctor Who as well, and then Broadchurch was massive, where he was the detective, and now this time he's on the other side of it. So I always wonder what that would have been like for him to take on a different role. Yeah, so he's accused of raping and murdering his teenage stepdaughter, and it's really frustrating because he just says no comment for the first, like, I don't know, half an hour.
Yeah,
he refuses to speak, and the clock is counting down, and they have, by the end, they have 45 minutes. So it's something crazy like that.
3 minutes left.
Yeah,
it's
and
crazy.
Everything takes a big twist then, and won't spoil it. And there's a bit where he's shown a photo of her, and that just freaked me out so much, because it's either you don't know if he's looking, can't look at it because he like can't stand the fact that she's like dead and he's like grieving, or if there's something more sinister behind it. Yeah, I think his whole performance like holds a room, and I think his interactions with the two interviewers. So Tony, who's played by Lee Ingleby, he's been in Luther, Line of Duty, and The A Word. He kind of leads the whole thing at first. There's Hugo is also in it, who we come to later. Then he gets swapped for Nicholas Pinnock, who plays Paul, who like takes over the whole interview. And there's a weird, there's a weird emotional thing behind it. And there's a whole scene where he stares him out and the lawyer has to come in and be like, what is this about? Which I thought was quite weird and interesting. But yeah, I really wanted to know more about Paul's character, the character of Paul, because he kind of, that was a whole weird dynamic between Edgar and Paul. So yeah, but yeah, so he's known for being in Marcella and Top Boy season one.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, Paul was one of the most interesting guys.
Yeah.
The way that, we won't say anything, but that last line that he has at the end of episode one, I literally screamed. I was like, yes, this is it. Like, what a clever script. I was in then. I was really, really into it. Faye, did you have any particularly strong inputs for this episode?
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. I think that it's a hell of a performance from David Tennant. It kind of, I don't know if it kind of sets up the rest of the series a little bit toughly, because you have such a cracker of an opening episode that I'm kind of always wanting to go back to that case and what happened, and like, and they do like drop a little hint like in the second episode, but it's not enough. I want to know more.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened. I want a whole series, like you said, Molly.
I know. I think the David Tennant case, well, Edgar, I keep acting David Tennant.
Yeah.
Dr. Edgar Fallon's case.
Yeah.
Could be a whole series in itself.
Mm.
But I also quite like that it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's no flashbacks. There's no...
Yeah, you just get what you're given.
I also like that you hear his ex-wife. Like, her voice comes in through statements, which I think is quite... makes it...
That's it. Nothing is ever kind of phony about it. It's
just
they're bringing the ex-wife or a wife's statement in because they need to.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So episode two was quite different.
So different. I think this one's my favourite one.
You've just decided.
Yeah,
that.
I think it was an all-female episode.
Yeah,
apart from the lawyer, who is really young, and it seems like they're just kind of ignoring him. I felt like they just knew that they were ahead of him. So it was an all-female episode, starring Hayley Atwell. She is the one. She's the accused, I would say, and she's being interrogated by Rashenda Sandal, who's been in last seen in Line of Duty. Yeah. And Catherine Kelly, who's best known as being Coronation Street's Becky McDonald. She's Natalie, and she's the head of the police team. And she comes in. It's kind of her interview, I guess. She is kind of leading the whole thing. Rashenda Sandal is there as Vanessa, But I feel like she doesn't really say much. Her face says everything for her. She doesn't actually speak as much. It started off really funny. I thought Hayley Atwell was hilarious at first. I was like, thought she was channeling like Catherine Tate vibes of like, am I bothered sort of thing. And then it just takes a darkest turn. It's really sad as well. And she's always seen for like kind of period dramas and like kind of Marvel superhero films. And then now she's in this weird like role of being the most like upset and like messed up human being. It's really, I thought it was really good performance from her. And it's my favourite thing I've seen her in a long time. So, yeah.
One thing I will say is that, you know, Catherine Kelly's really coming into her own. You know, she's had, was it Liar that was on ITV?
Yes.
Yeah, she was in that. She was brilliant in that. She's fantastic in Criminal. She really, really leads that team. But she never goes too far with it. You know, she leads them really well. Yeah. And I think in this episode, she's just wonderful. She just balances her emotions so well in it.
Yeah. She is so good.
And I couldn't work out whose side she was on as well. Mm. I was like, is she on Hayley's side? Oh, Stacey, that's who Hayley plays, Stacey. Or is she just in it to obviously do her job? And it was really wicked.
I know what you mean. And also, I really loved her in the first episode when they're kind of like interrogating Edgar. And then two of them go guilty, guilty, and she goes innocent. Yeah. I just think she's such like a nuanced character. Yeah.
And she leans back with the food in her and she starts eating. She looks so chilled out.
She is. But she's just, you can tell she's so clever. She's brilliant in this. She's steely. She's so good.
Yeah.
And for me, I thought episode 3 was the darkest. I know we're having different opinions on this one. But what happens in episode 3 without spoiling anything?
So Yusuf Kerker is the actor. He plays Jay. Jay is a lorry driver who's been accused of abandoning his truck full of Syrian refugees. And the story of the line is just so relevant. And like today, it's really close to home. I think it's very like brave. Netflix is always very brave, but it's very brave of Netflix to like take on. And Yusuf is best known for playing Sammy in Channel 4's Home. And he's had roles in Night Flyers, Marcella, and Jack Ryan. The story is like obviously the big story, but I think his character takes a back seat, and then the story becomes in a shock twist about one of the staff members called Hugo, who's played by Mark Stanley, best known for being Gren in Game of Thrones.
That's who he was.
Yes.
Gren.
Okay. Took me ages to figure it out, but I got
Thank
there.
Thank you.
And right now he's Lord Babington in ITV Sanditon.
Oh, is Jane he?
Jane Austen. So I wish I knew more about Jay though. I kind of feel like it was so weird because he felt sorry for him.
It's not massively about him.
Yeah, it's not about him. And I want to know more about what happened to him and what he did and what the consequences of it are going to be. But
yeah, I think it's a good performance from him though. He's like so much emotion
for
in
someone
like
not
the
to say anything.
He has. Yeah, you can definitely feel it, especially when he's talking a bit more about his family and stuff.
Yeah, and when Hugo makes his big revelation, the camera goes on to like Jay's face, and it's just his eyes are like water, and you can see like his eyes are just filling up, and it stays there for about 5 minutes or something like that. I just kind of wish you got to know more. Then that's the whole part about the series, like you're always left wanting to know more. So they obviously do it very well.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was one of the more powerful episodes, really, just for the silences in it and the
so silent
combined with the twists. Like, it just hits really hard, and I was just sitting there. I remember I was trying to have a coffee and I was sitting watching the episode, and I just was like sitting, not moving my cup at all, didn't take a sip at all, because I was just so gripped by this episode.
I just
completely
didn't see the Hugo thing coming. I don't know if I was being silly.
I know what you mean.
And then it's when they're talking about it behind the glass, I couldn't keep up with who they were even talking about at first. I had to go back, and I was like,
then you're like, of course.
Oh, who are they referring to? And then you have to think back, oh, you've seen that in episode 1 and in episode 2, and that, now it makes sense. Which I think is a whole good thing about the series, is that even though the cases are different, but the backstory is always the same, or like continues on, which is a bit different for like an anthology series. Like, there's a few lines that keep it all together, but each big story is different.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I was actually really lucky to speak to Catherine Kelly, Roshenda Sandal and Lee Ingleby about the unusual format and what it was like working with their fellow cast members so closely.
What drew you to this project? Because it's such an exciting and kind of innovative television idea. When I was watching it, I thought I'd never seen anything like this before. Is that kind of what drew you to it? Could you talk a bit about that?
Okay. You're the boss. You're the boss.
Gaffer.
Yeah, this, for me it was the script. It always is the script, but this one was, yeah, like reading a novel. It was such a page turner. Yeah, script is king, I think.
But he was. He was. I mean, just the opportunity to have the dialogue that you do and the run of the scene.
Yeah,
it is a bit like a play. It sounds like a cliche, but it is. You know, and the and when Jim and George had sort of described how it was going to be filming of it. Again, it was just, you know, it's just character and drama and dialogue.
Yeah.
And you know, if that isn't good, it's kind of fucked.
There's a real responsibility, you know, in lots of shows, especially big shiny shows. You know what your part in it is really quite small, one, especially with all the post production and things like that. But actually, this is sort of old. I suppose a bit more. Well, the way the pressure is on you and the responsibility is on you, and I think all actors relish that. Actually,
yeah, absolutely,
I certainly do, and it's. You sort of, live by the sword, diamonds.
Yeah. Big challenge. And also the potential for it to grow. And, I mean, it's the possibilities are kind of endless with this show, which is very attractive as well as a piece. Because we forget on this small little island that lots of people watch Netflix everywhere all around the world. So it's, like, very interesting to be part of something that could divulge into all of that, like Asia continents, African continents, things like that. It could be massive, you know, so it's great.
And the risk of repeating ourselves, but you've got something that you only gain the information of what's happening as you're watching it. You know, you don't have any pre-story or, you know, history or anything like that. It's all the case as it's happening. And you might discuss it in the observation room, but apart from that, the audience is learning as it's happening, you know. So it's up to you to decide what's going on with this criminal.
So what is everyone's final thoughts on this? You know, because it is very, very unusual, but I think we all love it.
Yeah, basically.
Do we want some more of it?
Yes, definitely. I think it's just so interesting because we haven't really seen anything like this before, especially with that format across different countries. And I think Netflix is kind of using its power for good, if you know what I mean. Like, it has such a broad reach over all of these different countries, so to be producing like content like this and in such an interesting way, I think is a really great thing. And I definitely want more. I definitely want to know what happens next, what is the dynamic between these people. I think I was reading as well that Rashinda Sandell said something about the potential of like crossing over with the different in different countries, which I think would be an interesting.
I hope people watch the French, German and Spanish ones. I hope it's just, and the same like vice versa, I hope the German viewers will watch the UK one. And
definitely, because
I think it's so good it's an international drama and not like so focused. Like, it's so good it feels like we can relate to it, or not relate to it, but we can understand it. But for it to be on such a global scale is even more interesting.
It's really good because it does work as just, you know, three episodes standalone of the UK series, but then you can also watch the others as almost separate to it completely. It's the only thing they share is the set, that's it. And I thought, for me, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was like the most gripping thing I've watched this year. And you know, police procedurals are having like such a moment right now, and definitely, you know, how can you ignore the power of them? And this stripping it back completely, as I thought, just such a refreshing take on the genre. And thankfully, the gang are all completely up for more episodes.
Woo!
Should they happen.
Oh, that'd be so good.
You can't predict how well something's going to go down with an audience. You can only go on if you think it's good, and, you know, and actually for us, you can only go on the script because you don't know what's going to happen afterwards.
Yeah.
But I've stopped trying to predict what the audience are going to think of something.
Because it never goes away.
I mean, definitely could. And
we hope.
I mean, you could go anywhere with it. That's the thing.
It just depends whether or not people like it. And it's not just us that we've got to worry about, because it's all the other countries.
Different countries.
So you just don't know.
It might be really successful in Spain and they've got like massive
we'll get flipped.
Yeah. 24 episodes next season, we just do another three.
And down.
I think it's really unique though. I mean, there's so much to choose from on TV. And that's definitely how I shop on telly for the unique
shows. It's a hell of a punt
shows.
Though, when you think about it, isn't it? You know, you're going to create a drama which is just well, it's more than just people talking, but essentially it's just
people
talking. And you don't go and venture outside of that floor. It's all limited to teenagers, really, so...
It's very brave.
It's
brave storytelling, and I think what it does is it really complements the audience. Actually, it's
it's a play of the day, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah. In that kind of way, where you sort of
it's not easy listening. It's
have to work it out, isn't it? It's not patronising to the audience at all. It's not kind of like guided or anything. They decide, which is
Obviously, crime dramas are having such a moment right now. What's your kind of top tips?
Well, Mindhunter is the best show ever.
Yes.
Season one over season two.
Oh, really? We're about to have an argument.
Anyway. debate.
But I think the best bit of Mindhunter for me is always those interrogation rooms when they're in the room with the serial killers and they are so tense. And I think that what makes that show so great is that they give that like the time and they like let it kind of evolve over like 10 minute stretches and stuff. So if maybe that's why I like Criminal so much, is because it's kind of taken the best bit of crime dramas and just like made a whole series of them. But yeah, Mindhunter is definitely,
and it sits and lets it just stretch for a full episode.
Exactly,
the point of it.
I could actually watch like it the same format with Mindhunter, I think, if like you had the same kind of hour long thing and just focused on those interrogation rooms.
I think Mindhunter season one is better than two, because there was more of the question and there was more of that.
That's true.
But season two was really good. Yeah. I won't take that away from
But I mean, the creators themselves, as we heard earlier, you know, they came up with this format by just watching an interview on, like, I think it was ITV News. They said they just saw an interview being played out in full and they couldn't tear their eyes away from it, and there was something there, and that's how they came up with the interview with Criminal. And they decided just to not put anything else in, because as I was going to move on to my pick is definitely Line of Duty, although it's not Netflix, it is on Netflix. And one of the best things about Line of Duty is it mixes the interviews with the action, and the best thing about Criminal is that it doesn't. So I think they're like kind of sisters, but not.
Definitely.
Maybe half sisters. Yeah. I think
Line of Duty did that interrogation scene in the finale of season 5.
Yeah,
that was the most intense like 45 minutes of my life.
And how many people kicked off about it because they'd never seen it before?
I enjoyed it, but I did think it was very long, whereas with Criminal I don't think it's very long. I think it's because they cut out of it slightly to the backstory of,
I guess it's because you don't know with Criminals, so you have to keep
watching. Whereas with Line of Duty I was like, somebody needs to reveal who's doing what.
Make the reveal. But Line of Duty, I mean, obviously half the cast from Line of Duty is in Criminal, and it's just one of those shows that everyone's talking about, so you have to watch it if you've not seen it. Molly, do you have any favorite?
My current favorite is Unbelievable, which just came out Friday 13th. So that's it's American, but it's about the true story of the rape of an 18-year-old woman who just wasn't believed about it. She was told to take her statement back. She was painted really badly. But then it turns out 2 years down the line, there's women in female detectives in Colorado who notice similarities, and then they basically track down the whole thing. But they don't really see much of the interrogation. What's interesting about Unbelievable, it's the interrogation of the victim. It's not the interrogation of the suspect, the man who's found guilty of it. That's not what's actually interesting. It's how the victim is treated when she first reports the crime, and because they think she's lying. So I thought that was a very interesting and true story as well.
I've seen a lot of buzz about this.
It's
but
very
I've not
good.
It yet.
I'm only halfway through, but I know how it all ends as a true story. So you can look it up and like, which is the thing with Criminal, because it's completely fictional. Then
that's true.
You don't know.
You can't spoil it.
And with Mindhunter as well, you also
you can
you know what happens in the Atlanta child murders. Google that, Charles Manson. But that's my favorite right now.
I think if we're talking about kind of interrogation scenes and confession scenes, then we've got to give a shout out to When They See Us as well.
I forgot about that.
Of course.
Oh my god.
Of course.
That was
some of the
most
tense ones.
Okay, I take it back. That's When They See Us. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was amazing.
Yeah, that was so good. And those scenes where they're interrogating those boys.
Those children,
it's just a different level.
Yeah.
Interrogation is.
Yeah, exactly.
And the acting was crazy. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, the acting was so good. But
thanks for reminding us about that.
No problem.
I was so upset for days after that.
I know.
So that's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us to chat about Criminal. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, Faye, for your interesting and excellent work. And if you liked what you heard, please subscribe, comment and tell your friends about us, and join in with the debate on Twitter at @NetflixPod, where we'll be teasing details of our next episode. And next week we're going to be talking about The Politician, a highly anticipated comedy series from the mind of American Horror Story creator Ryan Murphy. With a huge cast including Gwyneth Paltrow and Jessica Lange, will the show live up to expectations? And as ever, we'll have all the gossip and hottest news, theories and backstage information you absolutely cannot miss. So we'll see you next week.